Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 46. I will now do my Vanessa Ives impersonation. No, I won't.
Thank God for that. Okay, we are off and running for another flawless,
polished,
absolutely
professional,
produced professionally episode of The Shared Desk. I'm your host, T. Morris.
Brave Sir Knight, I am King Arthur of Camelot. This is my loyal vassal, Patsy.
No, that is not my loyal vassal, Patsy.
I'm not your Patsy.
No. Who Patsy. Are you?
I'm Pip Valentine.
Yeah, it's... Jeez. Why do I even bother? I mean, really, why do I even freaking bother?
But hold on, there's somebody else in the room. I sense another person.
Yes, there is. Okay. Even though I don't want to do it now, introduce yourself.
Katie Brisky.
Oh, yeah! Woo! The only time I get to use that bumper.
And she's
and the
back.
The only time it devolves into a dance party.
That's right.
That's true.
Good but thing this is not a video show.
Speaking of a dance
show.
Party, let's go on ahead and let's set the mood and have some nice music to the podcast here. How about that, huh?
It's all me, can
Mr. Chandler. Mr. Chandler. I want to get to your pants, Mr. Chandler.
But it's too dangerous,
but
Mr.
it's too Chandler. Dangerous, but I still get in your pants, Mr. Chandler. I can't do it as well as Blythe. Oh, dear. Yeah, the ladies. So it was a rewatch for Pip, but Katie Brisky.
Lost her mind.
Our intern of awesome, our Canadian daughter, our beloved.
Our most frequent collaborator.
Our most frequent collaborator, Katie Brisky.
Some kid you found in Atlanta and dragged home.
That's
pretty
right.
much. Well, anyway, she got caught up while she was down here and just mainlined season two of Penny
Dreadful. Seven episodes in like 3 days.
Yeah, seven episodes, three breweries in 4 days. Not too bad.
I was content.
And the overall thoughts of Penny Dreadful season two?
I have two.
What?
Billy fucking Piper.
That's just it.
And screw you, Ava Green.
Oh, there we go. Okay, in other words.
So no love for the ladies.
No love.
No, all of the love for the ladies.
All the love for the ladies.
Oh.
All of the love. I will admit to an undying love for Ava Green.
Yeah, well, now the last time.
Seriously, undying. She's scary. Yeah,
absolutely. The last time that.
She's really good.
Believe it or not, we're the ones that are sober this time. It's actually my lovely wife over there who's actually breaking a sweat right now. I don't know what's up with that. But Pip is on her, what, second cider?
No, this is my first cider.
Man, you lightweight. You're
I know,
a lightweight
it's only
girl.
Half finished as well. Oh, so dang. I look forward to the rest of the show.
What is that lovely beverage you're drinking?
I am consuming a Winchester Cider Works Malice.
You can find them.
How fitting.
Yes.
Malice.
And that's from
upstairs we have a whole jug of Paranoia.
Yeah, we got it. We have a jug of Paranoia from Pendruid Brewing Company.
Yes.
And then, of course, what do we have in the other growler?
In the other growler, we have a Mocha Macchiato Stout.
From?
Old Busthead.
That's right. You'll find all those links in the show notes. And the third brewery, you made the Mecca. You made the Mecca, didn't you? Where did we go this weekend?
We went to Dogfish Head Brewing Company. Off-centered ales for off-centered people.
Well, that you two fit right in there.
And we did. We had a wonderful time. Now, why we were there was because I was in the Dogfish Dash, the 10th Dogfish Dash. What an amazing experience, and I'm still recovering from it. Yesterday was a long day. We pretty much went to Dogfish, had two beers there, and then we went to Pendruid. I got a massive migraine, so you drank for me. And then we came home and we
We bought you a jug of Paranoia. What
yeah,
more
I know.
Do you want?
What else do you want but a jug of Paranoia? And yeah, it was a really, really intense day yesterday.
It was.
But we managed to get through it all right. We managed to get through it okay. And the boom was also in rare form. She was doing great. You had great signs. I gotta tell the story about the signs. It was really nice. I had Brisky and the boom go into a separate room and
they had their own suite.
Yeah, they had their own suite and they they made running signs to cheer me on at the finish line. And I did see them right before I crossed. The one that our daughter was holding said, it said
the littlest daughter.
the littlest, not the eldest, not the darkest, I should say, not the darkest, but the youngest of our daughters. She had a sign that said, "Dad, you were full of hashtag win," and then there was Katie's sign. We heard a lot of cackling coming from the closed door of the
suite. Now we know what it was for.
And now
because
we
didn't let him see the signs before the race.
Right.
So it was a secret.
And as I'm coming around the bend and I see the arch, I happen to look over the finish line arch. I look over to where Katie and the boom are sitting, and Katie holds up a sign and says, "T, I'm drinking your beer."
Yes. Well, you did leave those free beer.
I only had two of the three
possible
free
beers.
And I had half of one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, well, I mean, after you run a 5K, I really...
Three beers?
Also, what time of day was it to you?
Yeah, it was Sunday at 11. No.
No, it was 10.
No,
10.
No, you guys were back before 10.
That's right. We were back before
10. Three beers before 10 o'clock.
I was drinking two beers.
Are you
before
Irish?
10 o'clock. Good gravy. That's what you call a liquid breakfast right there. Oh, yeah, and I should also say I was having the beer with granola, granola and yogurt and a little homemade parfait and a cider... an apple cider donut. Yum. Yum.
Quite
yum.
An interesting combination.
Best of champions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Crazy champions.
I did. Oh, and I, but I do remember what I had. I had the Dogfish 60. So that makes me a 60-minute man, even though I did it in 42. And then I also had the Namaste. The Namaste, which is a lovely beer. Very clean beer. You weren't all that crazy about it.
It's a Belgian wit beer, and wit beers are just not my favorite. It's that thing where I can tell, for the style, it is very well done.
Right.
It is just not my preferred style.
Right, right.
I did like the cloves and the coriander, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
I a lot of spice in that beer.
I got to get you to try the Sauté when that comes back in season.
Oh, the Vasir.
I got to make sure. Well, the Vasir is, that's
it's
almost like a
done.
Lambic. And yeah, that's done. Yeah,
I really like lambics.
We forgot to tell you about that.
That's
yeah.
That's done. We were at the brewery.
Done.
I went to go with my little sample cart. So I want to try the Vasir. And they said, no, we're out. Oh, okay. But we're out, like, completely. We're done. We're done for the season.
That was the last of it. That was it for the season. And they actually
doing it next year, though, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to come back next year. It's considered one of their
summer?
One of their ancient ales.
Yes, I know, but is it like
a
summer?
And it's
offering.
A summer ancient ale, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I was fine with it. That's the way we roll at Black Creek. When it's done, it's done. So,
Yeah, but you see, we still haven't taken you on the tour. And when you see the tour, when you see the amount of beer that they have in their warehouse before it ships, it's pretty intimidating. Because when they say it's done, that means they've gone through a lot of us here.
Well, even just seeing the beer pipeline and some of the silos, right? Seeing their fermenting. Wasn't that
beer pipeline?
The beer pipeline.
It's tap into the beer pipeline.
The massive silos. And I assume that that's where the fermentation happens. And looking at that and then looking at our little cask. Oh, it brings it home just how little beer we really make.
There's micro and then there's nano brew. And I think
we're the smallest brewery in Ontario.
Yeah. but you're probably one of the best.
I think so. I'm not biased.
You brought me a Black Creek porter. Didn't you?
Probably,
bring me a, you,
at some point.
You brought me a porter, and I remember really digging that porter. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I introduced you to a porter this weekend that you liked. Because you weren't that crazy about porters, but you tried.
I like porters. What do you want?
She likes dark beers. Even I know that.
What was the one you were kind of on the fence about? You said because you were always disappointed with
vanilla porters.
And then you tried the Vinoki Doki
from Dogfish Head.
From Dogfish Head beer, and that was at the Brew Pub. That was a Brew Pub exclusive.
Yeah, yeah,
so go and get that.
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts on that?
I liked that one. I've had disappointment with vanilla porters in the past because I like vanilla and I like porters. Ergo.
You should like a vanilla porter.
You should like a vanilla porter. I've had one from Double Trouble, which I don't even know where they're from. I think somewhere in Canada. And it was really cloyingly sweet.
Ew.
And really thin body as well. And I didn't
like thin
that.
No,
and
no,
then
no.
There was one from Mill Street, which usually is a pretty good brewery. It's a craft brewery in Toronto. And I was really disappointed because, again, just cloyingly sweet. The vanilla wasn't balancing nicely with the coffee and the grain taste of the dark malt.
But the Dogfish Vinoki
Doki? It was nice. It was velvety. The vanilla was not cloying. It was not overpowering. I could have had more of that.
No, that's cool.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Okay, great. So we should actually stop talking about beer.
I had a vanilla. I had the vanilla vodka in a beach beer.
You lush. I mean, because
what do you
originally
mean it was tasty.
Originally, she was going to drive, and she was going to be like, "Yeah, I'm just going to have the beach beer." And they go, "Would you like some vodka in that?" Yes.
The beach
and then,
beer, to clarify, yes. is a 0% soda.
Yes, it's a,
yeah, yeah.
It's a soda.
The beach beer is a soda. And
not when you put
vodka
in it. Then
yeah.
it ceases being a pop.
Yeah, and the you know, waiter dropped off the drink. She took a few swigs. He came back and...
So we're good, right?
And she was, so,
was,
you know.
Very good.
So everybody was happy. Everybody was freaking happy.
And that's how T had to drive us back to the hotel.
Yep. That's exactly
that's
why.
That's the story.
That's why.
Yep.
So anyway, but we're actually not a beer cast. We're a cast for writers. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were.
Well, except for...
It's hard to
well,
tell.
This time... Yeah, I know. The last episode that Katie was on, we were a bit... Schnockered. we were just
really?
A wee bit schnockered. Yeah, it was
that
pretty
was
bad.
A beautiful podcast.
It was a beautiful podcast. We just basically got on mic and
nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
We were that loud too, if I remember
oh,
correctly. We were that loud. The good news is though, is that right now we are the ones who are we're the ones who are sober.
Mostly.
Whereas Pip, on the other hand, she's just
She's doing some very nice artwork
she's
over
just,
there.
She's just, yeah.
So. You want to play me hard?
Phrasing. No, I don't.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
Yeah, that's pretty much this podcast. Let's talk about, what a terrible segue. Let's talk about grants. Sometimes people say that consumption of alcohol is good for grants or grants or however you pronounce them in Canada, which is grants, eh? So, yeah, so
we'll go with that.
Yeah, that's because Katie, you've had some experience with grants,
some recent.
I'm in the middle of getting experience with grants, we'll say that.
What exactly are you trying to get a grant for?
So I have written a thing that is, it's an audio project, it's part audio drama, part novella, and part. One woman storytelling showcase.
Mm-hmm.
So it's many different levels of story and narrative, which I will release via podcast, ideally. So I am trying to get a grant from the Ontario Arts Council to pay both living expenses for me, the artist.
What, you want to live?
I would like
what
to
the?
Live.
An artist who wants to live?
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
Don't you,
so there
don't
you, go.
You know authors survive on pure air
and exposure.
They survive on exposure.
we survive on exposure.
Which
what are you talking about?
Which can definitely kill you in Canada.
More importantly than my living expenses, I would also like to pay my actress.
There you go.
I would like to pay a composer to create mm-hmm. custom music. And I would also like to pay a cover artist.
Oh my goodness.
To make a beautiful custom image for us.
You're asking for a lot there. You know, but... but
well, luckily, we hear... At Imagine That Studios, believe in artists being paid.
We do. We actually
we are artists that also like to be paid.
Especially when you are working with artists who are very talented.
Yes,
extremely talented.
Talented people should be paid.
They should. They should be paid. I totally agree with that.
That is my main assumption. So I'm hoping the Ontario Arts Council agrees with that.
So now, so when you're dealing with the Arts Council, it's not.
Oh my God! I am surrounded by idiots.
It's not something. It's not anything like that, right? I mean, no. These are people that actually understand what it is that you're doing, or do you have to explain it to them? First off, what is a podcast? I mean, how in depth do you need to go?
Are we talking like 20 pages, 30
yeah.
pages, or are we talking?
They're not asking for that much. For the actual project structure and outline, they're asking for about 5 pages. And they did say clarify any lingo or any jargon or technicalities we might not understand. Mm-hmm. The OAC actually has a specific category for new media.
Ooh!
So I am assuming they have at least some idea of what a podcast is. But I am nevertheless going to give a very brief summation.
That would not be a bad idea.
Is.
That would not be a bad idea. You really don't.
Just in case.
You don't
just
want.
Just in case.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely want to make sure that you have them in the know, right?
Mm.
Right.
So what happens essentially is that a jury of academic types will look at your application and assess it based on the integrity of the project, and also your budget. So am I doing something? Cool. Oh, okay. Am I doing something worth funding, and how am I going to use your monies?
And there, and so, and you also want, so on in your grant, you're going to basically, you're going to emphasize, all right, I'm going to make sure that the money that's being invested is being invested in Canadian artists and Canadian resources. It wouldn't go over well if you're going, oh yeah. This is a Canadian production, but it's staffed completely by American actors or something like that.
Yeah, that would go over less well.
Okay.
So there's another section for rationale and impact. So what is this going to do? How does this help me grow as an artist? How does it build off work I've done previously? How does it benefit the broader community? Now, and that's where I'm really hurt, because it is based on Canadian folklore.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my next thing. What exactly? Okay. So, let's walk through the process from the beginning. So you're going to try to get a grant to fund, to make sure that you can pay for resources, pay your actors, pay all that stuff. So the first question is, what is the project? Can you tell us anything about the project that you're currently working on?
Yes, it is an audio drama. It's a larger framing narrative, a girl trying to save her friend from the realm of fairy that she's wandered into by telling them a story they've never heard before, which, hence my five Canadian folk pieces that I have chosen and strung together in some kind of thematic order.
Got it. Okay. So you've got the five pieces of folklore that you have threaded together, but they're all tied together by an original story that you yourself have come up with.
Precisely.
Got it. Okay.
Precisely.
So you got the project, you've got the natural cultural background of Canada behind there.
And it's Canadian setting as well. The characters are all Canadian. The larger framing original narrative
is Canadian.
Lots of
maple syrup, lots of back bacon, hockey is involved, things like that.
Not as Canadian as the Under Oak Island story that I did for you guys. It's a little bit less unnaturally Canadian.
Inappropriate. We need our back bacon. Come on.
Well, this is a thing, too, and this is something I'm really emphasizing, is taking Canadian culture and making it accessible to a broader audience, because that is the beautiful thing about podcasting. It's a very barrier-free medium.
So that is where you have another leg to stand on, is okay, this isn't just for entertainment purposes. We're also going to be expanding awareness about Canada, awareness about the culture of Canada, and all this stuff. So you work that into your grant proposal as well, correct?
Yes.
So right now we're at part two. So the first part is, this is what I need. Part two is, this is why I'm doing it.
Yes.
What's part three?
Part three is a more solid breakdown of budget and timelines.
Okay.
Because they hold you accountable. At the end of the... If they give you the money and you do your project, at the end you have to file a report saying, this is what I did, this is how it compared to the original timeline I gave you, this is how I spent the money that you gave me.
Okay.
So they want to know how every penny is going to be spent.
All right, so we're at part three. We were talking about the budget, right?
Budgets.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Just one budget, one big budget.
Well, you're not asking for like a, you know.
I'm not asking for a lot.
Like
no.
A Hollywood
blockbuster
or anything.
So now here's the big question. Okay, so you've never done this before. You've never written a grant proposal before,
nope.
Have you? What? Nope.
Nope.
I don't have that drop in. Sorry, I don't have that drop in. But
I'll supply it.
There you go. So the real question is, how did you learn how to write a grant? What is the style of writing a grant?
I am very fortunate in that I have a friend, actually, that I met at Stone Coast, another Torontonian, as a matter of fact, who has taken a grant writing course.
Hey now!
That is a thing. There's lots of books and courses on how to write grants, because there is a very specific language that they want you to use.
Right.
It is a very academic language. Essentially, a grant is not a press kit.
Okay.
I am not trying to sell them on the project in that way. I'm not trying to make it look pretty and floofy. I'm trying to say, as an artist, very academically, this is what I'm doing. This is the very academic breakdown of my rationale.
These are the benefits. This is what...
Yeah. So what, as she said, plain words, plain paper. This is what you're doing. And the other thing, too, is you want to give the impression that you really do know what you're doing. So one of the things she said that is very simple is, you don't say, oh, well, I would be doing this, I would do that, oh, I would use this actress, and it would be six episodes long. It's like, I am using this actress, it is six episodes long.
It's happening.
So in some way, you already talk about it as though it's a fait accompli.
Yeah.
As though you're already in process of producing it.
Okay.
They like that.
They like that. That's good to know. That's good to know. And so you're... So, all right, so now we're up to part three where we talk about the budget. Part four is actually writing it, and we're getting the language right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to sound like a weird jump, but I'm going to go for it. Why didn't you decide that you wanted to do it as a Kickstarter? Couldn't you get more money as in a kickstarting project? Or did you just want to stick with going with a grant for street cred purposes? I mean, what was the whole mentality of, I'm going to get a grant for this as opposed to doing a Kickstarter project?
Honestly, I thought the project was better suited to being a Kickstarter.
Why?
A lot of the stuff I've been talking about, Canadian culture and spreading Canadian culture further afield, it's not just me being facetious and cynical and writing to the purposes of a grant.
Oh, stop that.
Don't be defeatist, dude. It's very middle class.
But that is the thing. But it is something that I very truly do believe in.
Yes.
Which is why all of my ministry stuff has been very Canadian. Which is why I started doing specifically Canadian content stories halfway through my Stone Coast career.
Well, we wanted the Canadian steampunk.
I know you did. Yeah. But for me, it was, I feel the aims of the project align very well with the aims of the OAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as well, honestly, I wasn't sure how a Kickstarter would go for me. I wasn't sure of the market for this kind of project. Whereas with the OAC, this is kind of exactly up their alley.
Okay.
That makes sense. That does.
In New Zealand, they have the New Zealand Arts Council, and they do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I did briefly consider it for, I think, We're the Child, the podcast for that. But I ended up not being able to find enough actors to do it, so it was just me. So I ended up podcasting.
I thought Weather Child, you had enough actors. You didn't have enough actors.
Enough New Zealand actors.
Ah. And
that is the thing. That is a big thing. So for this project, it's a one-woman show, essentially. It's half one-woman show, half novella, half series of short stories.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's three halves. That's the kind of project it is.
Yeah.
And I know there were, because I know a lot of American voice actors now, and there were some that were kind of sniffing around saying, hey, Katie. Do you have anyone yet?
Yeah.
I could be interested.
But you wanted to get somebody Canadian.
I wanted to get a Canadian.
You didn't want anybody, though. You wanted the magic dulcet tones of Blythe, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the entire podcasting community knows they are my second choice.
Pretty much. Yeah, we get that.
We're fine with that.
We get that.
Yep.
And it is partly a grant thing of, yes, it looks better, if I can say so. I am a Canadian author producing this Canadian content story with a Canadian actress. That looks good. Let's not be disingenuous. That looks good. On the other hand, it does, again, it is something I believe in terms of principle. Yes, I want to use Canadian talent where I can.
Fair enough.
Well, you know what? This is why we've had to have things like Beaver Hours and CanCon rules.
Beaver Hour?
You want to play me hard?
I don't even...
No, I don't.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
Tell me more about Beaver Hours, please. I can't wait to hear this.
Beaver Hour is the slightly derogatory term given to some of the CanCon rules that you get from certain Canadian radio and television ads, where it is a specific ratio or specific amount of time that has to be devoted to Canadian content. I'm sure New Zealand has rules.
In fact, it worked very well for New Zealand music. They had
radio and Canadian artists.
Like 10% music from New Zealand.
Well, you see, and ironically, America used to have something like that.
Sounds very socialist to me.
It really was. No, it was that, and it turned out to be, yeah, it was socialist, it's all get out, but it was some of the best freaking programming we ever had. Yes, you're too young to remember this, but in the 1970s, when I was a wee nipper, it never got down to New Zealand. There was this thing where the government would give the networks a chunk of money if part of their programming was educational.
Mm-hmm.
So they reserved it for Saturday morning. And ABC was particularly savvy about it. It's like, okay, we're going to do this, but we're going to do it in segments, in these little segments, and we're going to do animated songs that teach kids something about science, something about math, something about history, or something about grammar. And that project became Schoolhouse Rock. And Schoolhouse Rock to this day is considered gold. I mean... Mm-hmm.
I remember Schoolhouse Rock.
So yeah, but you saw it in reruns, woman. You saw it in reruns.
I saw it on VHS.
I saw it freaking live as the and I tell you something. I'm just a Bill. Yes, I'm only a Bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. I remember those lyrics. It was genius stuff. But then the government and the networks had a parting of ways, and they stopped doing that program, which was a real shame. So I get that. I see where you come with that. But wow, I did not know that that there was such, because it just seems like everything that I love is shot in Canada.
Yeah, but not all of it is Canadian content or Canadian produced or Canadian acted. The other thing that I understand but dislike is oftentimes when Canadian actors go down to the States.
Yeah.
And they have to lose their accent.
So back to the grants.
Back to grant writing.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Back to my ridiculously talented friend.
There we go.
That's a good one.
So you've got this grant all set up. You've written it.
Mostly.
All right. So after you write it, what happens next?
I say, hey, Pip, you're going to write me a letter of support.
Right? Not right this second. After a
after I don't want you to write it right this second. So there's all sorts of supplementary material you can include as well.
Okay.
So letters of support. So from like actors, teachers, mentors. So I did this internship once where I learned about new media practices.
There you go.
Well, I mean, I know I can totally talk about the fact that I did the New Zealand podcast, and I feel like that introduced people. A lot of people to New Zealand.
So what were
you?
Yep.
In terms of other supplementary support, you can include samples of other work that you've done. So for me, it will be under Oak Island.
And other things like, okay,
because
so,
that's the thing that I did, so they can see, oh, she actually does know how to podcast.
She's not just blowing wind up
our
skirts.
She's not just blowing wind. Right. She's done this before. The other huge thing with the OAC, though, is that you have to be considered a professional.
Oh, geez. Well, no. Now,
which means that you have had to have been paid at some point,
which
I
have
been because of the ministry.
Even though it's with the American peso, that's still okay.
It's like, American currency, what time would you like your breakfast, sir?
Oh,
man.
Under Oak Island serves three purposes for me, actually. I have been paid for this piece. I can show you can actually podcast. And also, Blythe is in that.
Right.
So hey, this is the actress that I'm using. She's really good, eh?
And the podcast we could find more Blythe's work in would be something like what?
Coxwood History Funcast.
And where would you find that?
www.coxwoodhistoryfunpark.wordpress.com.
There you go.
And
don't worry, in the show notes. And
she's been doing a lot lately, actually.
Oh, really?
She's just in Campfire Radio Theater.
Oh, nice.
John Ballantyne, Night Delivery, I think is the episode name.
Ballantyne?
No relation to Pip Ballantyne.
No relation to you, unfortunately.
Was he is he a Y or an I?
He's an E, actually. Balen with an E time.
I don't know that person.
And Beneath Northumberland, right at the...
Yes.
Oh, she does great. She's great in that.
Yeah, she's awesome in that. You can find that at ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
So, okay. So, just in brief, to wrap up this segment, what have you learned from this experience with it? What have you learned in writing a grant?
And would you do it again?
Ask me if I do it again after the entire process is complete.
Once you've got the money in your hand, you go,
there
yes.
you go. Once you got the money in your hand.
Let's finish the process first. Yeah. I've solidified for myself, I think, what I want to do as an artist and where I'm going as an artist. The whole CanCon thing was becoming patently obvious during Stone Coast. Mm-hmm. So just having that laid out, plain words and plain paper, is a good thing for me artistically. And then also the small details. And going through, and also I was realizing this morning, making my resume, I was like, damn, I've done a lot in 3 years.
Yes.
That's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to see everything laid out and go, oh, okay.
And
maybe I got a shot at this.
And and on top of all that, along with everything that you're doing with the grant writing, Stone Coast, when is the final bits for you? When do you
when are my bits?
Yeah, when
where are my bits?
Where are your bits? As Sebastian would say, where are your bits?
They're in Maine.
What do you have? Yeah, in Maine, what do you have left to do?
The thesis is pretty well done in terms of the actual stories. I'm ahead of schedule.
Nicely done.
So we're good, right?
Yeah,
probably.
So I still have to finish up the front matter. So in early to mid-October, I am sending my signature pages and a hard copy of the thesis to Boston, to my mentor down there. She will read through it and basically copy edit the heck out of it, at which point she will sign the signature page and send it to my second reader, who is in rural Maine.
There we go.
My second reader, in the meantime, will have been reading an electronic copy of my thesis. And all she was basically doing is saying, yes, this is graduate level work. She will sign off on the signature pages and send that back to me in Toronto. I will then send the fully filled out signature pages and a good copy of the thesis printed on very special and expensive thesis paper.
Thesis paper.
Yep.
Okay.
To Portland, Maine. And it must be in the office before December the 1st.
And if everything works out, that means that in January you make the walk at Stone Coast.
I make the walk.
She will be a master.
My final presentation. I do my reading. I get my paper.
Then she's a master.
This is when I wish I had the drop-in of Darth Vader's breathing. Lord of the Sith. Yeah, exactly.
When I left you, I was the apprentice.
Lena, now
I am the master.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Okay, thank you.
Watch Penny Dreadful, you'll understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, link in the show notes to Penny Dreadful on Showtime. Season 3 coming soon, we hope.
We hope. It better be.
So, you know, thank you for giving us an insight on this this wonderful world of grants. We hope we wish you all the best. Come on, it's you, Kate.
They're gonna give you the money.
If they don't,
I have a backup plan.
Yes, always have a plan B.
You always have a plan. Always,
that's the other thing I learned. Always have a plan B.
So normally we have a you know, you hear me play one of the wacky bumpers, but guess what? I've got a brand new bumper.
Oh my goodness, have you?
Yes. Ready for this?
Yes.
Brand new bumper. We're rolling it out right now.
Three simple words.
It's not spam.
Hey, pardon me for interrupting.
You've got mail.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, because we're just not getting enough voicemail to for a voicemail show. So I said, screw it. We're just going to go on ahead and play it when we get it. First off, got to say a quick shout out to Nobilis. He sent out a voicemail to us.
About the Nazi romances. Unfortunately.
We only got 10 seconds of it. So
call us back.
I don't know what happened there.
Call us back, Nobilis.
Nobilis, you have many names, but yeah, we didn't get it. So you're going to have to re-record. However, we got this lovely voicemail. And if you want to comment on this, Katie, you're more than welcome to. But let's go to voicemail.
Hey guys, Chris Lester here.
Hi Chris.
Hi Chris.
Baltimore City and host of The Raven and The Writing Desk at chrislester.org. Calling in about the recent episode regarding the Nazi concentration camp romance story.
Oh dear. Okay.
And the wrongness thereof.
Oh, here we go.
I wanted to point out that they mentioned specifically that this story was intended to be a modern retelling or allegory to the story of Esther. And as disturbing as it may be, that's actually probably the best parallel we have. The story of Esther takes place at a time when a powerful authoritarian government has the lives of the Jews in their hands, and they are in the process of trying to exterminate the Jewish people. And Esther is put into a position of authority with the fact of her Jewish heritage being a secret. And she falls into the hands of the king, who is looking for more concubines to use as he wills. It is not a romantic situation that Esther finds herself in. It is a situation that's full of a ton of coercion. And, you know, when you are a slave, basically, being inducted into the king's harem, there's not a lot of room for consent there. So I think that the parallel that the author chose is probably pretty accurate. As for the other stuff with incorporating Christianity in a very ham-handed fashion, and, you know, with the idea of trying to make this actually a romantic situation when everything about it is, you know, as unromantic and rapey as you can get, I'm not going to try to defend that. I'm just saying that in terms of trying to look for a modern allegory to Esther's situation, Nazi Germany, probably the best one that exists. Keep up the good work, you guys. I'll be listening.
Well, thank you, Chris. Okay, so I think Chris kind of nailed it on the head what we were talking about. Okay, if this was released as just a novel, I mean, just a modern analogy to the story of Esther, I think that would, I think that would be acceptable.
It's putting the romantic elements into there, and then shoehorn it into the
romantic
Christian
category and Christian romantic inspirational category.
That feels very wrong.
That's the part that feels wrong to me. Yes, Ava? Tell us more.
Yeah. Ava disagrees. I think he's right. I mean, obviously she's tried to defend herself by saying that. But then she's gone beyond that into shoving it into a romantic box.
Not just romantic box, but a romantic inspirational box.
Yeah, yeah. That we should all be Christians, by the way.
We should all be Christians, and you know, and that there's, and you can find inner peace through the tormenting of your captors and all this. I do get that it is supposed to be the retelling of Esther, and it was supposed to be a modern retelling of this. So I think Chris has got a point. This is probably going to be the best type of modern retelling of that. Of that.
If it had just stayed that, okay.
If it had been a novel,
yeah.
If it had been a novel, period. Then I think that would have been acceptable as well. It's calling it a romance that makes it oogie
and rapey
and a bit rapey.
Katie, considerably rapey.
You heard that episode, right?
I did not.
You did not. Oh,
you missed out on the Nazi romance.
I did.
Inappropriate.
Wow, that's.
Did I mention I'm writing a grant and doing a thesis?
You know, I'm.
Don't be defeatist, dear. It's very middle class.
Yeah, and I just finished producing my podcast.
Oh really? Oh man, I feel
life is hard too.
Life is so hard.
But first, I must deal with treason within the ranks.
Treason.
The two renegades who voted against the bill.
Yeah.
I have zero tolerance for betrayal, which they will soon indelibly learn.
What time does your flight leave?
Don't you mean... I'll throw a pin at you if you make you feel bad.
Oh, really?
How you hate to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not wrong.
I wouldn't know.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with the sensation.
Precisely, yeah, Dowager whatever. Duchess.
I will say, yeah, I mean, it is not uncommon to look, actually, like the Holocaust specifically, through the tropes of fairy tale or folklore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it was Pan's Labyrinth,
like,
right? Wasn't that
or
one?
Actually, Jane Yolen's Briar Rose.
I don't know that one.
It's a YA novel mixing the Holocaust with the story of Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, wow.
It is a very beautiful book, so that's not uncommon. So it sounds like I agree with you guys. Yes. It's just been a novel, full stop, modern retelling, that's one thing, but...
Yeah.
I don't like the romance.
Shoehorning Nazi romance into it.
Just, yeah. I mean, I'm having a tough enough time with the whole Amish romance thing, which everyone apparently, that's a big business. Amish romance is the thing.
Not just romance.
Amish romance. Yeah. It was.
What time's my flight again?
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Whatever. So yeah, if you want to send us a voicemail, we did test the number. It does work. It's 703-791.
Lines are open.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do right as I'm reading
lines
off.
Lines are open.
Yeah, okay, great.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Read now, off that number then.
Honey.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Thank you. 703-791-1701.
Call now.
Yeah, thank you. There you go.
Lines are open.
All about timing. And then, of course, we've got what Chris did, where he sent us an MP3. You can send an MP3 either to t@tmorris.com, or if she can remember it in her...
pip@pjballantine.com.
She's multi-talented, that PJ Ballantine.
I can scratch my eyebrow and talk.
and try to fight off a sneeze. You don't have to send your email or feedback or MP3 to KT Briskey, but if you can.
I just won't do anything with it.
Exactly, because she's writing a grant and doing all this stuff and, you know, things like that. And, you know, more power to her, I say. But if you wanted to find out more about what she's doing, what she's up to, that sort of thing, where can they find you, Katie?
You can find me at ktbriskey.com. Drop me a line at ktbriskey@gmail.com.
And that podcast, just one more time?
www.coxwoodhistoryfunpark.wordpress.com.
That's very cool. It's a great podcast.
It's fun.
It's hilarious.
It's very goofy.
It's got these two in it.
Yeah.
Don't let that put you off.
Thanks a lot. Hey, drunkie. What exactly do we have coming up? You're looking at the board right now.
Well, we have a new item on the board.
Yes, we have several new items.
And it's coming up. Well, the new one I'm thinking of is coming up on October 6th.
Right.
You and I are teaching a webinar on content marketing for authors through Writer's Digest. So we're going to have the link in the show notes for that if you want to sign up and hear our pearls of wisdom, which are far more pearly than this.
They're usually not drunk when they teach.
We promise not to be. Then after that, this coming month in October 16th to the 18th, we will be in beautiful Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
This is a great event.
In the middle of Amish country.
Yep.
For Steampunk Unlimited, where we will be selling books.
Lots of books.
talking in the caboose.
Are we going to? So we are going to do a reading.
I think we're in the caboose for some time.
We're going to do it. We're going to do a reading in the caboose.
But there's going to be a lot of apart from us, which is enough reason to go.
Yeah.
There's also going to be Unwoman's going to be there.
Oh, Abney Unwoman's
going
to be there.
Yes.
Oh wow. And Abney Park.
There's going to be a whole lot of wonderful musical things happening.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
It just gets bigger and bigger. And we got in on the ground floor.
We were there for the first year. We absolutely loved it. We've been there every year. It's been a great time. I believe we're going to be next door neighbors once again with Shelley Adina.
We are. There's going to be a couple of new authors there as well.
Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Okay, that's October.
Yes.
November. We just had something.
Something new crop up.
Yep.
We're going to be in Gloucester, PA at a library event for podcasters, right?
November 14th. Yes. So it's on the 14th of November. And it was originally going to be just like a quick one-day thing, but so many people got involved. And Gloucester, PA's library. Gloucester, PA's.
It's probably Gloucester, yeah, knowing Gloucester. You Americans.
Who knows?
Gloucester.
Whatever. At this library, which we'll have a link in the show notes to, this event was originally supposed to be just a couple people coming in and talk about podcasting. So many people got involved. Jared Axelrod got involved. A group called the Black Tribbles got involved.
Oh.
And we are now going to make it an all-day thing. It's going... And the Gloucester, PA Saturday hours are very quick, very short. So the first half of the day, there's going to be a podcasting 101. And then the other half of the day is going to be a podcasting your passion panel. So come on out.
Podcasting parlon, really.
Yeah, it's really going to be like a mini pod camp, if you will.
So then we break for the year. That's it. For the year. That's the last thing.
That's the last one for the year.
Do you want me to talk about next year?
Let's talk about what we have up to the big one.
Well, we've got your mini con coming up in January 9th and 10th in Connecticut.
Yep.
That's brand new and exciting.
Yeah,
so
it's brand new and exciting. We're looking forward to that.
We've never been there.
Right.
And then, of course, in April, we've got RT.
RT.
Vegas.
That is the week of April 11th.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to actually be teaching the few days before the convention starts. Then we're going to be the steampunk captains and shenanigans will ensue.
Shenanigans in Vegas will ensue.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Brace yourself, Vegas.
And Katie, what about you? Do you have anything coming up in the next couple of months apart from more stuff with Coxwood and...
Coxwood's done.
Okay.
Done. I did a whole wrap-up show about how I'm likely not doing a season two, but I might.
Oh, you never say never.
I just broke Nobilis's stony little heart.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the book that will not die, Heartstealer, should be coming out in early October.
You're going to punch that button, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm going to punch that button.
Punch it. Punch it, Brisky.
Yeah, so I've got a wonderful dark Victorian novel coming out early October. I remember the month still.
Laid out by some incredibly talented individuals.
I've heard great things about them.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
OneStopWritersShop.com. Okay. and are you doing audio of that? Are you going to release it as an audiobook or...
Let's see how my collaborator feels after she finishes this grant project for me.
Sure enough.
But I would strongly suggest you did because more money.
She also likes money.
If you've got the ability to do it, there's always a contract between you and your voice talent of awesome. You can sit down with her and say, look, you can do this for royalty. You can do this for this. You can do this. There's a lot of options you have, Katie. A lot of options.
I know. We need to sit down and have a chat, the two of us.
Right. So
there's that. I will continue to sling beer.
Yay.
At
Black Creek Historic Brewery, which you can find us at blackcreekbrewery.wordpress.com.
Yep.
Then I become gainfully unemployed in the new year. As happens every year.
Right.
So then I will use that time to go to Maine and pick up my diploma.
Yay!
Yeah.
And then you'll come back here.
Yeah, well, it's not a long flight, I don't think.
That's
from Portland to Dallas. So
we're going to commit you to that now.
That's okay. That's a plan.
And then we're going to go to, but before RT, we're going to be in Smoky again, which we love.
We're going to be going to Smoky again.
So I should be finishing up my annual Sherlock Holmes Mystery Week at Black Creek.
Right.
And then I will hop on a plane, come meet you guys. We'll drive down to Tennessee. And then I'll just kind of stick around and not go home.
Yeah, just stick around. We don't care.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We got a room.
We got a room. We're good. We got a room.
The Boom said she's never had a sister before.
So this is a nice change.
This is a nice change.
We'll look into the legalities of it. Check it out.
We'll figure it out. Mm. So, this week we've got the shared desk. Next week there's going to be some more Tales from the Archives coming up. We are trying to get ourselves back on schedule. It's been a very busy end of the summer. Between the DIY and all the other stuff we were doing. But as you can tell, we are getting back on schedule. Things are good. Thank you all very much for listening. We appreciate it. We're always happy with the feedback.
And voicemail.
And with voicemail, as you can see, I've got a bumper now. Let me use the bumper.
Please.
Until next time, we're not sure when the next time. Well, no, the next time will be in 2 weeks.
Approximately.
We should be good.
Ish.
I don't see why. It depends on how much cider she drinks. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later.
I'm gonna go to the house.